All right, it's time to go behind enemy lines, presented by Galise Services and brought to you by Monster Brewing. We got a big-time Denver Broncos expert joining the show right now, and that is Ryan McFadden. And Ryan McFadden covers the team for the Denver Post. Ryan, first of all, I know it's a little earlier out there for you, so appreciate you coming on, man. How's it going?
Doing good. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Oh, we appreciate you coming on. I love Denver, by the way. I got a bunch of friends. All my friends, I grew up in Pittsburgh. All my friends from high school live out in Denver. It's a hell of a town.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. Like, this is my second year here in Colorado, and just like every day you see the mountains as you're driving, it's just like you never get tired of seeing that sight.
Oh, no, man. It is absolutely spectacular. All right, let's get down to brass tacks. So it's not going to be what I'm sure, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm sure a lot of Denver fans might have been clamoring for, Russell Wilson going back there. How did that all go down last year? From an expert's mouth to our ears here, Ryan, how'd that all play out? How long was there friction between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, to the best of your understanding?
It was friction. You're talking about going back during Denver's five-game winning streak. Even though they were winning games, a lot of their success was coming from the defense being able to generate turnovers, which, you know, steered the momentum in Denver's direction. But as the season progressed, when you start to see the fallout between Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, one of the two biggest issues for Sean Payton, and he harped on it so many times, is Russell Wilson holding the ball too long, not getting the plays out on time. And the thing you have to be mindful of here is Russell Wilson is 35 years old, and Sean Payton probably looked at it as a situation where it's like, hey, you're not getting any younger. I know what I'm going to get from you for the long haul, so it's might as well just, you know, break ties now, and I can bring my own quarterback who I think fits my vision for the offense and kind of jumpstart that future. Now, that did impact the Broncos from a cap situation, which led to a lot of costly, a lot of key decisions in the offseason, and kind of forced Sean Payton to get out of his comfort zone a little bit, where he is known for having veteran teams, guys like veteran guys. Now, due to the salary cap issue, due to the fallout of the Russell Wilson deal, that he has to rely on a little bit of a younger team with a handful of unproven guys.
I do want to get into Bo Nix in a second here, but you just described Sean Payton and the way he feels and felt about Russell Wilson. Do you think that's a fair assessment? Russ held on to the ball too long, because statistically it didn't look all that bad, but that does also, Ryan, seem to be the national perception, is that Russ didn't have it anymore.
So it's because when you look at if you didn't watch any of the Broncos game and you just looked at the stats, you probably think Sean Payton is a madman. However, when you go back and watch, you kind of see the issues of him holding the ball too long, where he's taking in sacks. He struggled to see the middle of the field, and I think that was an issue as well. And there was times when you look at games where there might be a guy open on the left side of the field, and he's still and his vision is looking at one on the other side, and he's missing open targets. And he had, you know, chemistry issues with, like, you know, Jerry Jeudy, who's now gone. It's just overall, it's just you felt like it just wasn't a good marriage between Payton and Wilson overall.
Ryan McFadden joining us here from the Denver Post, Denver Broncos expert behind enemy lines, presented by Galise Services, brought to you by Monster Brewing. All right, let's flip it now to Bo Nix. If you were just looking at the box score last week, didn't look very good. Did you see anything that stood out positively, Ryan, beyond the numbers?
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't the best performance from Bo Nix, but at the same time, it's your first game as a rookie. And I know Sean Payton talked about that maturity of him starting 61 college career games, but the NFL, as we all know, is a different animal compared to college. And you saw that there. But I think one thing there that stood out was kind of the two scoring drives that Bo Nix helped conduct. The one towards the end of the first quarter, the first half, where he threw a 25-yard back shoulder throw to Josh Reynolds to set up a field goal. And then he led that drive to cut it, where he scored on a 4-yard rushing touchdown to cut it to a 1-score game. So there were some positives. One of the positives to me was the way, I'll say, I think it's going to be surprising to a lot, the way he runs the ball. I think he has a lot of speed, and he's very mobile, which I think Sean Payton could use to his advantage this year, whether if they want to incorporate design runs for Bo Nix. I think that's something even Mike Tomlin spoke to reporters about it earlier this week about Nix's mobility. I think that's the one thing that stood out to me. But here's the thing with Bo Nix. I think to his issues was I thought his mechanics were a little bit off. I thought some of his throws were off target. Where he, like there was times where half his throws were behind his the receivers. So that's the issue there. And also he didn't get a lot of help from the run game or the offensive line from a pass protection standpoint.
Ryan McFadden, he joins us from the Denver Post. Rush defense seemed to be a sore spot for the Broncos last year. Seahawks ran on them last week. Is there any reason for optimism that they can turn that around?
I think the reason for optimism is because they really played some really, really good football, defensive football in that first half. Like that, they was able to generate a turnover and open and drive. They was able to shut down Kenneth Walker for the whole first half. So the second half, where that's where the flare up came, where you saw the issues in terms of, you know, not filling your gaps, poor tackling. There, I believe on Kenneth Walker, 23-yard touchdown. Alex Singleton missed the tackle, and Riley Moss missed one as well as Walker scored. So, and those are issues that we saw all through last year whenever Denver had their issues the run game. I still think there's reason for optimism on that end. If they can replicate, if they can show some form of consistency and take what they did in the first half and just apply it to a four-quarter game, I think they'll be solid. I like the additions. I like the addition of John Franklin Myers. I think there's some potential there with Jonathan Cooper and Baron Browning. Those two guys can help not only from a pass rush standpoint, but defending the run. And I think Zach Allen's a solid guy too.
Ryan, we really appreciate your time, man. Thank you. I know it's earlier out there. We'll talk to you soon, I hope. And thank you so much again for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care, guys.
You too. That's Ryan McFadden, not to be confused with Bryant McFadden from the Denver Post. I'm a Dill guy. It's like Ron Cook from Northwestern. They don't pump out bad journalists there. They only pump out the good ones.